advice, a potion, a healing. And you want nothing? His voice, too, was, as she remembered, deep and resonant, full of overtones, as if, she thought suddenly, he had spent much time with elves. His eyes, now visible as he came closer, seemed to pierce her with their keen glance. No, no, sir, I want nothing. Pox dropped her gaze, stared at the ground, hoping he would not recognize her, would let her go.
Is it, then, an offering of thanks? Have you received some gift, that you share your bounty? Not share, I see, for you have given everything, even your last copper. Can you say why?
No, sir. Pox sensed that he had come nearer yet, to the offering basin, still watching her.
And yet I heard someone very like you tell a soldier that she wished to speak with me, to ask me a question. Then I find you in my grove, filling the basin with your last coin, and even your spare shirt. And you have no question.
He paused. Pox watched as the shadow of his robe came closer. She shivered.
But I have questions, if you do not. Look at me.
At his command, Pox's head seemed to rise of its own accord, her eyes filled with tears.
Yes. You came to me once before for advice, if I recall. Was my counsel so bad that you refuse it now, Poxenarian?
Pox could not speak, for the lump in her throat. Tears ran down her face. She tried to turn away, but his strong hand caught her chin and held her facing him.
Much, I see, has happened to you since I last saw you, but I think you are not a liar, whatever you've become. So you will ask your question, Poxenarian, and take counsel with me once again.
Pox fought the tightness in her throat and managed to speak. Sir, I can't. There's nothing you can do. Just let me go.
Nothing I can do. Best let me judge of that, child. As for going, where would you go without money or pack?
Anywhere. East or south to the hills, it doesn't matter.
There's enough dead bones in those hills already. No, you won't go until you've told me what your trouble is. Come now.
Pox found herself walking behind the Quokkan to his house, her mind numb. She saw without amazement the door open before he reached it. He ducked slightly to clear the low lintel. Pox ducked too, and stepped down onto the cool earthen floor of a large, long room. Across from her, windows opened on the grove, which came almost to the Quokkan's house. The ceiling beams were hung with bunches of pungent herbs. At the far end of the room gaped a vast fireplace, its hearth swept and empty. Under the windows were two tables, one covered with scrolls, and the other bare, with a bench near it.
Come, said the Quokkan. Sit here, and have something to drink.
Pox sank onto the bench, and watched as he poured her a mug of clear liquid from an earthenware jug. She sipped. It was water, but the water had a spicy tang.
Mint leaves, he said, and a half stick of cinnamon. Here.
He reached down a round cheese from a net hanging overhead. He sliced off a good-sized hunk.
Eat something before we talk.
Pox was sure